to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this one of these, almost to 300, which almost none of you are going to get to hear. If you haven't entered Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2 at this point, you have made a mistake. You have decided that you don't care about hearing episode 300, which is a mistake. Listen to my voice. I hope I don't talk about anything of passion, because I have the voice of a teenage boy on a sitcom who's going through the change. And, you know, they're like, well, you just have to yell. And he's like, oh, God. Okay. I thought what we would talk about today is something that's near and dear to my heart, which is crime. As we all know, I'm a big fan of crime. I like crime. True crime. Okay? The thing is, Greeley, where I live, has a pretty interesting interesting crime profile. Is that the best way to say this? The way people react to crime here, or the crimes that happen here, I think we have one of the best crime beats in the world, if not the best, right? And the reason is, I think there's a combination of here, you know, rich and poor, you know, red and blue, all these things. There's a weird combination here that's just right. And people probably don't have quite enough to do. You know, one of my favorite crime beat tales was from quite a while ago, but it was a guy who was kind of mystified because the police had to come to his house. He was shooting off a cannon every time the Denver Broncos scored a touchdown. And, you know, the police were like, you can't do that. And he was kind of like, what the hell, you know? So, you know, I was reading a good one yesterday. It was like a story. I don't know if this is a crime story, but basically it was like, cops are cracking down on drivers on Highway 34. And it was so good because it was a complete battle between people saying like, good, people are too aggressive, stop speeding. And other people saying like, stop those fuckholes from cruising in the left lane. That's a law. And it was amazing. It was like hundreds of comments long. But my favorite story from a few days ago, residents of Greeley neighborhood angry, puzzled after finding large swastikas in snow on lake at Glenmere Park. So this is a little park that's kind of pretty close to here. And this took me back to a couple years ago when I assumed people weren't as angry or puzzled. The lake where I used to live, it snowed a shitload. And somebody walked out on the lake and used their steps, you know, kind of shuffled along and made a giant dick, like the entire length of the lake. And what's great about someone doing that on the lake was, you know, it took the guts of someone else to go out on the lake and get rid of it, which nobody did. So it just kind of, we had to just wait until the snow melted or more snow came. And it took a couple weeks. That dick was out there for a long time. So this is the exact same thing, except it's a pair of swastikas. Now, looking at the picture, which isn't great, they're pretty competent swastikas. I'll say that. I don't know, though. Let's see. I'm trying to do the math here. Okay, so swastika is basically a cross, and then the ends of the cross have like a tail, right? Does a swastika have to go a certain direction to be a swastika? Because these go both directions. There's a one on the left where, you know, the things are going, I guess, clockwise. And the other one is counterclockwise. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if that's important. I don't know if a swastika is like a three-dimensional thing or, you know. Is it like, Like that whole rumor about like piercing one ear and one ear is the gay ear. Is like one the gay swastika or something? Like, is there some kind of... Well, no, this is the this swastika. This is the that. So, we'll just go into the story here. Now, okay, residents of the Greeley neighborhood around Glenmere Park were collectively puzzled, angry, and heartbroken when they discovered on Sunday two roughly 10-foot by 10-foot swastikas dug out of the snow on the lake at Glenmere Park. Now, already I'm like... Dug out of the snow, or just somebody walked and made it. Matt Birnbaum and Tamara Jakubowski were sledding with their 3-year-old daughter at the park around noon when Jakubowski noticed the symbols from the pavilion, which overlooks the lake. Now, I just want to break in here and say there is like no hill at Glenmere Park that's sled worthy. I know their daughter's 3, but it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. You're like 2 blocks from the best sledding hill in town over at the university practice fields. What are you doing? You don't know anything about parenting. Jakubowski said she was... her name can't be Jakubowski. I don't know how to say this, but there you go. Jakubowski said she was initially taken aback. No, that can't be, she said from her home on 18th Avenue about a block away from the park. Then I took a step back and yep, that's what it is. It appears the symbols were made by a single person who made them from shuffling across the lake, which is only a few blocks away from the synagogue, which I guess is true. I feel like that's a very disingenuous statement, because you can't access the synagogue by vehicle from the park, nor, I mean, how far away are you going to be from the synagogue in a town this size? But anyway... Attempts by the paper to reach officials with the synagogue were not immediately successful. I hope that like the people who worked at the synagogue were like, what do you guys think of someone writing swastikas on the lake by walking? And they were like, what do you think we think of that? I support it. Come on. Hopefully, Birnbaum said, the person who made the symbols did so out of naivete rather than hatred. It might have been an adolescent who either thinks it's funny or doesn't understand what it means to folks, he said. If it's others that understand the symbol, it's more troubling. Now, this is, okay, Greeley Police Lieutenant David Spees, this is a guy I went to high school with. This is part of the weirdness of growing up in a town this size, is you're like, huh, he's a police lieutenant, huh? That's weird. Last I remember, he got a parking ticket because he parked the wrong way on a street and didn't know you couldn't do that. He said there's no indication to believe the symbols were drawn as a threat to the synagogue. He explained that though the department's neighborhood action team was notified, it is unlikely a perpetrator will be found. Really? Spees, I would have been a lot more concerned had it been on the lawn of the place of worship as opposed to the park nearby, he said. There's nothing to indicate that it's more than a knucklehead that was maybe even inebriated at the time. As the symbols were made on the lake, which even has a caution thin ice sign feet from the footprints that lead into the lake, it would be dangerous to attempt to cover them up, Spees said. He said the area has a history of people falling through the ice. Another resident, Michelle Kalos, said she and her neighbors hope the sun will melt the symbols today. She learned about the incident from photos Birnbaum posted on Nextdoor.com, a networking site for neighborhoods. The site was used to report the symbols to police Sunday afternoon. It's frightening that people feel emboldened to do that, she said. Okay, that's basically it. Now, here's what I think is really funny about this, right? Because they're like, okay, well, there's 2 real possibilities. This is a kid fucking around. Or this is the, you know, lashing out of a white power enthusiast, a white powerist. What do you call those? Like a Nazi, I guess. I don't know. Which to me is like hilarious, because if this is what Nazis are doing these days, I mean, the Nazis of the 1940s would be like so ashamed. Like, this is what it's come to. You're just treading in the snow and making swastikas. Like, we had entire trains full of people we were murdering, and this is what we've fallen to. It's like such a, to me, if this, it's almost to me more gooder if this was made by an actual Nazi, because I'm like, well, this tells me about how much power they have, which is like they just send Jim out to walk on the lake and make, they're like, I don't know, just make a couple swastikas in the snow. That'll show them. I saw, and there was a great, I mean, the comments on something like this are always great, you know, and somebody, okay, here's why I'm like kind of a monster, but not a total monster. I mean, I'm laughing at this because I think, here's what I think is funny about it. I am completely convinced that this is like some kid fucking around, right? And so what's funny about that isn't so much the kid fucking around as like, man, this is the exact thing that if you did that as a kid, you'd be like, this is amazing. This is having even better results than I thought. You know, they called the police. Everyone's just like, oh my God, you know. But then, like, to me, the monstrous part is like someone actually was having the argument online about whether, you know, about like, you guys are idiots because the swastika is a symbol of peace, which is like crazy, right? I mean, it's true. You know, it started way before the Nazis and stuff, but I don't think that's a great argument. I mean, it doesn't seem. Maybe, you know what, who knows? Maybe 1,000 years from now, the swastika will mean something different. But for today, it's got to be a tough sell, right? The only comments I found here were, this is just plain ridiculous. Oh my God. By the way, people in this town cannot fucking spell. And they, you know, this is just plain ridiculous. ... capital. Some people's kids, I swear. ... space. I hope they find the person/s involved and make them hold a sign saying I'm racist and made the swastika sign at the park. ... space. I would love to hear and see all the rude comments towards this. ... So, I would love to hear and see all the rude comments towards this. I don't know. Oh, if they were holding a sign saying I'm right, razit, R-A-S-I-S-T. That would be good. I'd like that. Okay, and then someone else says, mean-spirited. Here's another example of the oh, good God. Here we go. This is an essay. I have to click see more. Holy shit. Here's another example of the American public school system intentionally failing to do its job. Wrong its. Liberal teachers in this country are out of control. They indoctrinate our children into being afraid of the far-right conservatives, that we built this country with slaves and we killed all the Indians and bullied our way in. What? Liberal teachers have labeled the conservatives Nazis. I hold liberals accountable for not assimilating to the great American culture and destroying exceptional country. So far, I don't know what this has to do with anything. First off, the Republican Party was originated during the Civil War to abolish slavery from the Democrats. There were as many black slave owners as there were white. Most of the slave owners were Democrat. Now, I love how people, I don't really like to talk politics on this show, but I do like when people cite that. They're like, the Republican Party started to free the black people from slavery. Even if that's true, even if that's not a gross oversimplification of things, come on, man. We did this good thing like 100 and whatever years ago, right? I mean, give me a fucking break. Like 150 years ago, we did something good. And you're telling me that it's like the same thing that it was then? Give me a break. Come on. Come on. Most Indian deaths were from disease brought over from the settlers. I just saw the line and just wanted to read it because that's how it struck me, was just like, okay, that's just shoved in there. Nazism is totalitarianism, which is leftist-based. Liberalism is soft leftism, and Democrats are soft leftism, sometimes hard leftism. None of the less, okay, Democrats are responsible for the anti-American narrative that goes on in our great country. These libbies believe government gives us freedom because most are secular. Therefore, they do not believe what we have God-given unalienable rights. And okay, this just keeps going. Like, I can't even get into this, but I'm not sure what this person is trying to say. This definitely seems like, you know, it's a... Oh, this is awesome. I just clicked on... I can click over to his Facebook because you have to make a Facebook, you know, to do these things. This guy has 8 friends on the Facebook. So he's killing it. He is killing it. Well, there you go. So that's the kind of crime, you know, that we get to experience a lot of times these days. But what I have for you is something that our Tribune newspaper printed, which is the best of the 2015 Greeley and Evans crime log, which actually I think is the most of the crime log. It seems like there's an awful lot in here. But this is the other thing that I think is so good about our crime log, is I think that I think the folks here understand how ridiculous crime is around these parts. So let's just dive in together, huh? And you can download this from the Greeley Tribune website, greeleytribune.com/news/crime. Let's see. Okay, New Year's Day, 12 a.m. So this is starting the year off right. Now, if you're a cop, I gotta believe you get a call on New Year's Day, and you're just like, oh God, you know. Midnight. Greeley police responded to a report in the 200 block of 11th Avenue. They always tell you, like, where it is, like you care about that. Of a trespasser living in a residence attic. The caller, who sounded intoxicated, said he could hear someone crawling around and sawing things. Okay, so there you go. We start the year off right with Hugo up in the attic and the Simpsons trying to make the best of it. This one made me feel better about my life, because this is kind of what my life has become. Thursday, January 29th at 5:45 p.m., Greeley police responded to the 2400 block of 18th Street to help an 80-year-old woman set up her voicemail. Now, I think the obvious question there is why an 80-year-old woman called the police when she couldn't get her voicemail set up. But I think the less obvious question is, why did police apparently respond to this call? And when they say responded, do they mean what I think they should mean, which is like, yeah, we went there, and then we were like, lady, you cannot fucking... Our response to it was to put her in handcuffs and be like, you're not going to be collecting a lot of voicemail in jail. Let's see. Friday, January 30th, 8:30 a.m., Greeley police responded to the 6800 block of 28th Street for a harassment call. A man reportedly spray-painted profanities on the sidewalk in front of his ex-girlfriend's business and then fled in his red Nissan pickup. The man previously had done the same in front of the woman's house. Whoa. Now, should I look up... should we look up what business that would likely be? 68th Ave... 20th Street? Really? I mean, what do you think it's going to be? I'm going salon. I just feel like that's going to be... Yeah. We're going to go on the map, drop the little... Now, this is very close to where I work, to be honest with you. All right. Here we go. I'm going to drop this little guy right here. Loading. It's very blurry. Okay, she may work at like the, well, there are a couple little businesses here, but you know, they're just boring. They're not anything good. Not a salon. Just office shit. That's a disappointment. You've let me down, Greeley Tribune. Spray painting profanities, huh? I would like to see what the profanities are. I mean, this is, I think, what's different about me, maybe, and some other people. If I was living in a house and, like, let's say across the street and one door over, there was someone who had an ex painting profanities on the sidewalk, I'd be fine with that. I would be like, this, you know, this is giving me something to do. When I go out and walk the dog I don't want, I can really pay attention to, I have something to cheer me up, like, yeah, somebody was pissed off today. Not the only one. Let's see. Saturday, January 31st, 11:15 a.m., Greeley police responded to the 100 block of East 24th Street for a report of a man drinking in public and knocking on people's doors. The caller was not necessarily concerned about the man's well-being, but about the public drinking because we have rules against that. So, this is... See, again, I don't understand, like, the neighborhoods around here and, like, the, what do you call them's... HOAs and stuff, because to me, if some guy was drinking outside, I could care less. But the second he knocked on my door, I'm like, okay, fuck you. Just drink outside and leave everyone else alone. 2:30 p.m., Greeley police responded to the 3000 block of 13th Street for a report of three kids on a residential roof throwing things at passersby. about where that's located, I guess maybe they time traveled. Couple decades, and I could have been a young Pete very easily. Greeley police responded to 47th Avenue and 26th Street for a report of a man in a red Ford pickup equipped with a siren and a loudspeaker commanding nearby motorists to get out of their cars with their hands up. Now, why was this happening? I don't know. Here we go. Sunday, February 1st, 12:45 p.m., Greeley police were asked to respond to a report of a cat in the 3700 block of 24th Street that was getting aggressive toward a woman and her grandson. The cat also had been leaving mice and rabbits on the porch. This is an interesting thing about cats. Normally, very threatening. If I, as a man, were to start leaving, like, dead rabbits and mice on someone's porch, this would be a problem, right? But if your cat does it, it's like, no, they're showing you they love you. And you don't have the option to sort of be like, well, fuck him. Like, I don't care. I can't show someone I love them by, you know, while my girlfriend's asleep, I slip toothpicks under her fingernails. Because that's how I show love. This is good. 5:30 that same day. Greeley police responded to the 2800 block of 6th Street for a report of about half a dozen kids starting a fire behind the Broadview Park bathrooms. The caller said one of the kids was especially chunky. Now, I can only assume this caller thought that this information would be helpful in apprehending the suspects, as we say. To say one of them is especially chunky. Not just chunky, but especially chunky. But what I like to imagine... Okay, I'm a monster. I could see... Okay, I have a kid, right? And he's at the park with his friends. And they're not doing anything bad. But I happen to know where they are. Like, I just drive by and see them out there and they're playing Frisbee or something. Make this report, and you know, I'm like, my son's a little overweight, so maybe I'll just throw that in there and it becomes a matter of public record. And then, you know, later you're just like, hey, were you behind this the park? And you know, they're like, why? Oh, I saw this police report, sounds like they're describing you. Oh god. The following Monday, 2:45 p.m., Greeley police responded for a report of a goose on a resident's roof. The woman said the goose tried to fly away when she returned from work, but it just fell off. It was last seen walking in the alley between 12th and 13th Avenues. Oh, God. Again, we call the police for these things. What's the crime, and like what? Here's a couple tips before calling the police. You know, number one, are you panicking over? Are you in immediate danger? Okay, and if the answer to all three of these is I don't know or no, then don't call the police. Am I in immediate danger? What's the crime that's happening? And then, what are the police going to do about this? The answer to these is no or nothing. Then maybe call somebody else. Greeley police that same day responded for a report of a resident who was experiencing buyer's remorse after purchasing a car from someone she met on Facebook. The car did not pass emissions, and the woman wanted police to get her money back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that buyer's remorse, or was she lied to, though? Because, is that the term she used? And did she know what buyer's remorse really was? Because I gotta say, yeah, if you bought a car and they were like, it's in tip-top shape, and it wasn't, I don't know, who do you call? Tuesday, man called Greeley police demanding to speak to an Officer Halsey or an on-duty sergeant. The man was adamant about only speaking to Halsey or a sergeant because the rest of the police department is made up of terrorists. they're kooky, they're spooky, they're people you live with. 7:45. That happened at 6 a.m., by the way. Sometimes the time of these is very interesting. 7:45 a.m. the same day. Report of people feeding a raccoon known to be living in a sewer drain pipe. The caller wanted the raccoon picked up immediately, but it returned to its home before animal control officers arrived at the scene. There you go. Yeah, I mean, raccoons are living in the sewers everywhere here. I don't know if this is a thing everywhere. But you'll be like out, especially at night, and going around, and you'll see what looks like a cat from a distance going down the sidewalk or across the street, and then you get closer and you're like, oh, that's a raccoon. That's no good. Okay, Wednesday, 4:15 a.m. again. Just imagine someone's calling the police at 4:15 a.m. Now, for the most part, it does not seem like, by the way, these are, I think what they've taken out is, you know, the sort of legit or sad, like, domestic violence and whatnot. So, imagine the state of somebody at 4:15 a.m. who called Greeley police to complain about two officers who were stalking him. The man also said someone was putting drugs into the water, which caused his cousin to kill his grandfather. The man also said a lot of officers drive around town with snipers hanging out of their windows. This is the thing about when you watch, like, you watch Batman Begins, right? And they're like, the town's water supply. If I was a cop, this would be one of my signs. You know what I mean? When people talk about black helicopters and being stalked, that's one thing. When they talk about the water supply, I would also, that's like a red flag for me. That's like a, this person might not be very balanced of the brain. That just seems to be somewhere that they go. They're like, how is this person being poisoned? I got it. Water supply. 8:45 a.m. the same day. I also like the timing because this was 4:15 and this is 8:45. Good chance the same officers are responding, right? Or the same, you know, the same person is taking the calls. Police were called to respond to a report of a 13-year-old boy who was refusing to go to school because he had nothing to wear. The woman was told officers would not get involved in a non-criminal family issue. I just want everyone to imagine for a moment getting to a point where you've got a 13-year-old son who refuses to go to school because he has nothing to wear, and you're like, I guess I'll call the police then. Like, just getting to that level where you think, I'm going to call the police. Let's see. Evans police responded to a place report of a red car parked on a dirt road. Police encountered a couple who were stargazing. They agreed to go elsewhere to stare at the stars. At 7:45 p.m. as well. It was very suspicious. Greeley police on Thursday responded to a fast food restaurant for a report of about 40 kids ditching school. Now, I like to imagine that that was, in fact, happening. That a police officer walked into a fucking Taco Bell and was just like, what the fuck? Seriously, what the fuck is going on? I think there's a Burger King right there. if I'm thinking of the right spot. And I I think that 2400, maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's very close to a high school. Okay? 9 a.m. I don't know. 40 kids ditching school 9 a.m. at the Burger King. Also, who the fuck cares? Like, I see a group of kids sitting in a Burger King. What am I going to do? Be like, I think they're ditching school. I don't care if I own that Burger King and I know they're ditching school. I'm going to be like, whatever. This is not in my purview to be like, are you ditching school right now? Let's see. Greeley police responded to a report of a man who had left tacks in his neighbor's driveway, .. again. The caller told police she has a pending stalking case against her neighbor and said she would leave the tacks in the driveway if police wanted to respond to take photographs. The woman said any officer would be fine except one who she described as being kind of a smartass. I'll take any officer except so-and-so. He's kind of a smartass. If you got a restraining order or whatever against your neighbor, does that mean they'd have to move? Is that how it goes? Because, like, if they're within so many feet, I don't know. Saturday, 6:45 p.m., report of a threat. The caller told dispatcher she bumped into an acquaintance who said she better not be going to the same house or else she'd get the homies. I hope she means those little toys, because those are great. Okay, 4 p.m. on that Thursday, Greeley police respond for a report of a girl who the caller suspected of being on drugs because she was, quote, walking with funny steps like how the Germans used to walk. See, it always comes back to Nazis and Hitler. It's not my fault. It's not like I'm doing this on purpose. You know, you're just reading innocently through this, and you've got two Nazi things right in a row. I like how it's like, someone's walking fucked up, so I'm calling the cops because I think they may be on drugs. Also, someone's on drugs. Who cares? Like, yeah, if they're laying face down on the sidewalk, okay, call the cops. But, you know, if they're just walking around, goofing around, like, who gives a shit? I just don't understand. People are so interested in everyone else's whatever. Okay, here's a good one. Sunday, 3:15 a.m., they reported to wherever for a report of a heavy set. This is a fairly nice neighborhood. Report of a heavy set woman who was knocking on doors in the neighborhood. One of several callers told dispatchers the woman appeared to be drunk because she said she was looking for a baby shower. So the lady's knocking on doors looking for a baby shower at 3:15 in the morning. Now, again, I'm not a fan of baby showers, but whatever baby shower she was at was fucking amazing. Where she somehow got separated from the shower at 3:15 a.m. and was wasted. That's a baby shower. You want me to be excited about your baby? I don't know how that's possible. But you want me to be excited about the excitement about your baby? That's the kind of baby shower that would probably help. Let's see. Reported for a report of a squirrel in a chimney. There you go. The cops show up. What are the cops going to do? Shoot it? Come on. Midnight on a Friday. Responded to report of a woman who was supposed to check in for a 35-day stint in rehab for meth, but decided to go to the liquor store and get drunk at home instead. I mean, that's some classic. That is like some real junkie thinking, right? Like, I've got a 35-day thing in rehab, or I could just get drunk tonight, and then tomorrow, who knows? This is good. Report of a couple that was possibly stealing clothing from donation kiosks throughout town. The caller said the police recently broke up a professional shoplifting ring and that she started keeping an eye on certain people. Mm-hmm. Those donation boxes, I mean, I suppose, this is another one, you know, if I saw someone stealing from those, it's kind of steal. It seems like almost stealing, but almost not. I mean, okay, let's talk about the levels of stealing here, right? I mean, you find a $10 bill on the ground and you pick it up. I mean, you could just pick it up and put it in your pocket and, you know, not even look around, right? Or you could pick it up and kind of look around and be like, do I see someone with their wallet out or somebody who's looking for whatever? But at the same time, you're in this weird position of like, well, what do I do with this? You know, how do I can't just go up to be like, hey, did you lose 10 bucks? Because you'd be like, well, they could just say yes. But then if I doubt that they lost 10 bucks, I'm going to be like, that was a mistake. Okay, so that's not really stealing at all, right? Okay, then let's take it up a notch. You're at the grocery store. There's a shopping cart. And it's pushed, you know, it's just empty, abandoned. And there's like a bag of Doritos in there still, unopened, just purchased. You take that, you look around, no one around, so you take them. Is that stealing? I would say no. I would say someone left them on accident and may come back for them, but is you taking it stealing? I don't know. I don't think so. Right? Then the donation bin is close-ish to just having a shopping cart full of stuff that someone didn't want. Here's the thing, too. I feel like people would consider it more stealing if you took it from the bin than if someone set it on the curb to be picked up by charity and someone else took it. Which is a weird standard, right? I assume those bins, I mean, they're kind of designed so you can't get in there super easily, but there's got to be a way. They must just lock on the back, right? If you could just open it up. I don't know. If you just had a truck and you had like a jumpsuit, you could just kind of go around opening all you want. Let's see. I guess I just feel like someone who's stealing from those bins, I mean, the kind of crap that probably ends up in those bins, they must need it badly enough that I can't be pissed off. Uh, 4 p.m. on a Friday, responded to a report of an Abe Lincoln-looking fellow who was possibly high on methamphetamine. Guy looks like Abe Lincoln. Honest Abe. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see. That's page one, you guys. Here we go. 9:45 p.m. that day. Report of a drunk man trying to get into a resident's house. The caller said the man appeared to be Latino, but said he could also be Asian because he kept putting his hands together and bowing. The caller did not know if the man was wearing pants. I find the descriptions of people very interesting, okay? You've got, like, little fatso at the park. They thought, okay, like, it's 3-whatever a.m. in a quiet neighborhood. Someone's knocking on doors looking for a baby shower. They're like, how would you describe? Well, it's important to know that she's heavy set so that you can distinguish her from all the other people out walking around the neighborhood at 3 in the morning in a place where no one walks around the neighborhood at the middle of the day. And then it's like, well, he could be Latino, but he could be Asian. And you're like, okay, that's basically no description then. I mean, if you're like, I don't know what race he was, that's the answer. I think a way that people get in trouble that they don't need to is if you don't know what somebody's race is, don't guess and then try and put the evidence of your guess in there. That is not going to help you. That doesn't help your case of like, well, I don't know, but here are some things he did that I could associate with a different race. Let's see. A report of a man causing a disturbance at a local liquor store. Oh, that's always good. The owner of the liquor store refused to sell booze to the man because he was already too intoxicated. The man left the store and tried again by walking through the drive-thru. Now, I feel like that's good evidence of, you know, is this guy too intoxicated? Absolutely. I've always wondered about this, though, because, you know, you hear these rumors or these things, right? Like, if a bar overserves you, they're responsible for what happens. But I gotta believe that is only in the case of, like, you know, you basically die in the bathroom or something. Because if you're capable of, like, going and ordering a drink, who are they to say no? and you're not doing anything. I don't know. If you just have, I saw someone, this is the only time I've ever seen this, but like a few months ago, we were out, and this person probably had like 9 margaritas at this restaurant and got cut off, even though nothing bad was happening. Now, do I think 9 margaritas is an appropriate point to cut someone off after like an hour? Probably. But I don't know. I would probably just go out and check and be like, I don't know, seems to be surrounded by other people who aren't concerned for his health. He's not a, 75-pound whatever. Seems fine. I mean, he's going to be miserable. That's fine. I just don't know where these laws begin and end. Let's see. A woman was complaining about a large dog that is always on the loose. The caller asked dispatch to make sure Greeley police and animal control officers would be on standby the following morning, waiting for her to call about the latest escape. Like they're going to be sitting out, staking out the neighborhood, you know, peanut shells out the window, and they're like, let's roll as soon as they get the call. Seems like an important thing. Reported to a report of a dog that urinated on a woman. Like, okay, let's take the test. Let's just do the test we just had. Is this person in danger? I mean, not really, right? Not further danger. I mean, the danger is over. What are the police going to do about this? Probably nothing, right? Is this a crime? I guess that's debatable, but I don't know. If that's a crime, then, I had a dog vomit on me one time. So that's a crime, right? Friday at 11:15 a.m., police responded to the park for a report of a man who had urinated on the pavilion. Now, I will say this, February, a lot of times they close the bathroom in the park in the winter, right? Because they're like, no one's at the park. If we're in a world that's devoid of public restrooms, what do you think is going to happen? This is what's going to happen. We need some kind of public urination law loosening. Police responded for a report of a woman who shattered a residential window with a bottle of booze. The man wanted police to know it was his wife who broke their window, not him. It's like, just want to check in. This was not me. This is someone else. Police responded to check the welfare of a caller's neighbor. The caller worried her neighbor was trying to send a distress signal because the lights in the house were flashing for 20 minutes. See, this is, again, like, it would never occur to me, and I'm not saying I'm right here. It would never occur to me that that's what was happening. If I saw that, if I saw, like, a building and the lights going on and off, I would just close the blinds because I'd be like, oh, that's fucking annoying. I would assume, you know, this is like something you would do when you were a kid, right? Your brother's playing Nintendo, so you're trying to screw him up. So you turn the lights on and off real quick. And almost always the person doing the lights gets tired of it before the other person. But get your kid a strobe light. And they can have some fun wrestling events with a strobe light, smoke machine, stuff like that. Let's see, responded to railroad tracks for a report of a man riding his bike with the remote control in his hand, but not using it to control anything. Police responded and determined the suspicious remote control was a fishing pole. So, see, this is the thing. Their imagination is like, I see this guy riding his bike with a remote. It's got to be a fucking bomb, right? He's going to blow up the railroad. And then they're just like, the fucking fishing pole. Could it be anything more boring? And then imagine you're this guy, you're riding your bike, and the cops come. They're like, sir, we got a report of someone riding with a remote control. And you're like, I mean, I got this fucking fishing pole. Does it look like an antenna? I mean, I guess maybe from super far away when I'm riding my bike, but why would I have this? What would I be doing? And why is that suspicious? I feel like sometimes the dispatchers, like, I wonder if the police and the dispatchers have a good relationship or bad. Like, I would think it would be good, but I gotta believe that this is on the part of the police, because they must just be like, well, if you fuck with them, they're gonna send you on the fucked up shit, right? But at the same time, it would be tough for me, because I'd be like, can you, like, ask one question when someone's like, I think he has a remote control? Can you ask them, like, what indicates to you that they have a remote control and why? Can you just start asking everyone before you dispatch us, or while I'm on the way, can you start asking them, like, and what is the exact problem here? And then, you know, then I'll probably 90% of the time, I mean, all of the things in this little booklet, I could have just turned around and gone, not done that. I mean, I don't know. It's not like we live in a crime-ridden zone, but there's got to be, I got to believe there's better stuff for them to do than that, right? There has to be. Because if there's not, we don't need them, right? All right, everybody. Well, that's all for this week. Maybe we'll get back to some more crime walk soon, but hope you enjoyed it. Remember, I got books on sale at Amazon, print and digital. So keep a lookout for those. You can donate via Patreon if you'd like. They got their first bonus episode that you missed out on. We did a little volleyball story, pre and post game. It was like a sports news show, but it was about me and what was possibly one of my proudest athletic achievements. So if you wanted to know about that, you got to donate. Sorry. All right. See you next time. Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to gold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.